I think one of the best things we've ever done for our marriage is go through small group material on marriage with other couples.
Oh, yeah. No question. Yeah. One of the best things. And we still do it.
Yes.
You know, and right now we have a 25% off discount for you to use some of our great family life resources, like the New Art of Marriage. You could get that, or you could even get our Vertical Marriage and just take some couples through it. It literally will change their life. But get you ready for this? It's going to change your life as well. So here's how you get it. Just go to familylife.com/shop and you can start your small group off right this year.
Parents influence their children. They don't determine them. Mm. And God will hold every child responsible for their own choices. And there's not going to be any perfect parent, but blameless doesn't mean you're perfect or sinless. It means you've dealt with your sin.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson. And you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. We talk to a lot of parents around the country, and I'm going to tell you one of the topics that comes up continually are kids that are wayward, kids that have walked away from their faith, kids that are just struggling. And for a parent, man, this rips their hearts out.
This has got to be one of the issues Christian parents think about. Almost keeps you up every night. Mm-hmm. How do I raise my kids in such a way that they are walking with Jesus when they're adults?
And a lot of times they hide it because it feels there's a lot of shame associated with it, because as parents, we can feel like it's our fault. And so we're going to go into that topic today, that wayward kids topic.
We got Stuart Scott sitting over there. You already heard him grunt a couple times.
He's agreeing.
Uh-huh. What was that about? You've got kids, right? Yes. Is this something you felt?
Oh, yes. And we thought, my wife and I, that, you know, we're going to do it right. We're going to correct all the mistakes.
Yes.
We're going to repeat all the good things from our parents. Yep. We're going to correct all the bad things. And our children will come to Christ at 2, 3, you know? And I mean, it's common, right, with young parents. Right. And they all want to know, tell me what to do and I'll do it and get the product.
Yes.
If I do X, I get Y.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've seen this, Stuart, but I felt this as a young mom. Tell me all the things you did wrong so that I don't repeat them.
Yeah.
Do you think that parents, we do that?
I think both. Tell me the good things. Tell me the things you did that you wish you didn't.
Yes.
And as if we can walk this perfect road and guarantee the product.
Yeah.
And it can't be your goal as a parent to see your children saved. It's the greatest desire you have, but it can't be your goal, since goals are achievable. So it's trusting God. It's walking by faith. We want to walk by sight.
You know, it's interesting about you, Stuart. You're not your average parent. You've got a degree in counseling. You're a therapist. You're a counselor. You're a speaker. You're an author. You teach this stuff.
Seminary degrees.
Yeah. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you do.
Well, I went to Bible college and took first couple years there just to get my gen ed in. Mm. And that's when I was impressed with, one, the scripture, that will last for eternity and people's souls will. Everything else is going to burn, even the forest.
We had that talk. Forest. That pushed us into ministry.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, you know, I probably should invest in people's lives with God's word. Mm. And at that point, there was really one track in seminary, was to be a pastor. There wasn't associate pastors and all that. It was just be a pastor. And I wanted to learn more of the Bible. So that's why I kept going to different schools for more of the Bible, maybe in biblical counseling, and ended up teaching. We're on staff at some churches, teaching in different seminaries. But it's on the sufficiency of Scripture, what God says it's sufficient for, and helping people to be saved and to be sanctified. Mm. And so that's what I've kind of given my life to do. And I thought, well, as a parent, all right, this is, you know, pretty textbook. And not that we were perfect at all. We said, forgive me a lot with our kids. And we love our kids. They love us. but it was not that way. I mean, you can dress them and sit them in a pew or a chair when they're real young, but they start going in there, getting older, and you start seeing their personalities and their individuality. And
isn't it terrible that we can't control them? I done make them do certain things. Yeah. I'm sure God has said that multiple times.
Yeah. And I made numerous professions of faith. My dad was in ministry and teaching as well. Both my parents in education, vocations. So I made numerous professions of faith. I'm used to the camp experiences on Friday nights and everybody, I got saved over and over again, you know, kind of a thing. So I'm used to that.
Yeah.
So when my kids made early professions of faith, I just sort of, well, wait and see. Mm. Well, wait and see. And my wife didn't come from a home like that at all. And she, when she came to faith in Christ at 11 at a vacation Bible school, she's, you trust in Christ and that's it.
She's in.
Oh, she's all in. So we had two different backgrounds uniting there in the parenting. And there were wonderful times and there were some really hard times, you know, in the parenting experience.
Said every parent under the sun.
Yeah. In different years, in their teen years, first my daughter, you know, dad, I'm not a believer. And then just some years later, my son, yeah, I'm not either. So I'm going, whoa, you know, this is not what I thought, anticipated, desired, either one of us. But it really opened up doors. And again, we work hard at loving them with love of Christ. And there's always hope as long as they're alive. But when you meet, I don't know if I met anyone in ministry for the most part that doesn't have one child or more that they don't really want to talk about much because they're not following Christ, they're wayward, and it breaks their heart. And they just rather focus on the ones that are doing well. And that took me down a part of a path here. I mean, part of what I do is trying to encourage parents to trust God, to get their eyes on Jesus, not put their hope in their children. But when I came across Romans 9, when Paul said, I mean, it's powerful. He says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. You know, we always think of Paul rejoicing all the time.
Yeah.
And here he says, I'm in anguish all the time. You go, which one is it? It was both. And it's how to really walk with Christ with both of those. Anguish, unceasing sorrow. I don't know a greater pain than to have children you've invested in who say, it's not for me. I don't want it. And some get pretty hostile. And we know some well-known people today in ministry whose children are hostile. I mean, they're on social media going after their parents. And I'm like, you know, that's like the greatest anguish.
I can see it on your face, Stuart.
Oh.
As you're talking about it, if you're not watching this on YouTube, you can't necessarily see Stuart's face if you're only listening. But I can see the anguish in your face as you talk about it. And every single parent understands what you feel because they face that same anguish that Paul describes. You're right. Yeah.
I mean, so much so that you've thought about it a lot. You've written this devotional called Wayward Children. Yeah. And so you've written 30 days so a parent can walk daily to like your subtitle, Finding Peace, Keeping Hope. Right. How would you advise a parent who has a child that says what you said earlier, mama or dad, I don't believe anymore.
Yeah.
In that very second where you just want to almost crumble.
In that very second, you lost your peace. You lost your peace and your hope.
I mean, how do you respond as a parent?
You know, some parents, and it depends on the child and the age of the child, but some parents suspect that their child's not a believer. You know, it's not a surprise.
Yeah.
And how they're living and the path that they're taking. So for some, they're not shocked. For me, when my daughter said, Dad, I'm not a believer, I didn't think she was. Because I'd been there. I'd been down that path growing up.
You were looking for the fruit.
I was looking for a love for Jesus.
Yeah.
Sometimes you like holding a stethoscope, a spiritual stethoscope up. Is there a heartbeat after Jesus? And I just didn't sense it. She loved going to church. Her friends were there. And I said, you know, I know all your friends. And she goes, yeah, Dad, they're all where I'm at. They just won't say it. And I went, oh, that would explain why a lot of youth pastors are frustrated. They're trying to disciple the children when they should be evangelizing. Mm. I would probably help parents who, when they first hear that, it's just, what are they tethered to? Mm. You know, if their hope and they're tethered to their children or their children's faith, they're going to sink with them. They're going to go up and down depending on how the child responds. And we did that for a little bit. I mean, it was a journey for us. I mean, all these points there in the everyday, they were in my devotional. I need to learn this. You know, I need to learn this. So depending on what my child was doing or children, when they're up, oh, I'm up. And then when they're down, I'm down. I'm going, my hope's misplaced then. And that's easy to do. You can put it in your health and your finances or in your children and other places. So that's having to get my eyes back on Christ and be steady there. So whatever they're going up and down, sometimes they may even be in your face, you know, just talking right back to you. And you're just going, man, Lord, help me with my eyes open. You know, help me at this point.
Why do you think we as parents hide that? Hide where our kids are spiritually?
You know, it's that acceptance, approval of people. You know, in the church, everyone wants to be thought of as, I've got it together, you know. Everyone looks nice on Sunday. Everyone's fine. Yeah, how you doing? Fine. And then during the week, you go, no, it's not fine. So I don't know, maybe different motives, but I think that's a main one, is wanting to be accepted, approved by other people. Fear of man would be fit in that as well.
I think, too, as parents, we feel like failures.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that shame piece. And then we start like, and don't forget, the enemy is Satan, who is the accuser.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, I've heard talk to so many parents that they're like, it's because of me.
Yeah.
It's because I didn't do X, Y, Z, or I did do X, Y, or Z.
Right.
And so they are just bombarded with guilt, shame.
Yep.
And so they go into hiding for their kids.
Well, and every parent can think of things they've done wrong. I mean, it didn't take me long to think through stuff I didn't do and things I should have done. So when parents do that and go, you know, I blew it. I was not the parent I should have been. Well, maybe not. But your child's belief and unbelief is not based on you. God holds them responsible.
Say that again.
their belief or unbelief is not based on their parent. Ezekiel 18, every person who sins, it's their own responsibility. You can't blame your parents. And parents, what I would do is what we did, my wife and I, is anything that we could think of that we really failed. I mean, we just maybe weren't there for a time in their life in the teen years. We would ask their forgiveness. Any log in our eyes, we just confess it, ask for forgiveness.
I think too, as parents, we need to do that. Is with our adult kids, all three of our sons have come to us with hurts, things that we didn't do. We wrote a book called No Perfect Parents, and our kids wrote in it of some of the things we didn't do.
Yeah.
And I think as a parent, we are heartbroken because our intent was never to hurt them.
Right.
But yeah, we both hurt them. And I don't think it's ever too late for a parent to apologize. My dad was 92 when it was his last year of his life. And he said to me, Ann, I'm really sorry. I was never there for you.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that's like, I'm a full-grown woman. I know who I am in Christ. But there is still something that felt good about him acknowledging the pain.
Right. That's right.
And so I think that could be a step that we take as parents. Will that change a lot? Or maybe they won't even forgive us. But there is something about confession and asking forgiveness that's powerful.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's right before God for a parent to do. And it's how you deal with any guilt that you might have is confess it, ask for forgiveness. And they may or may not, as you said. But before God, at least you're blameless before him. Mm. Not perfect, but blameless.
Are regrets the same thing? You know, as I hear you say that, I'm thinking a lot of parents, and I've had it before, you know, I just have these regrets. I wish I would have done that year or that decision. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm looking at your subtitle, how do I find peace? Because I'm laying in bed with a regret.
Yeah.
And I may have even confessed it to him, but I still can't change it. And so I have this regret. How do you deal?
And I don't know, Dave, on, you know, if I even have the right answer. As best as I know biblically is that we'll always have regrets. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at the Apostle Paul. I mean, he was a persecutor of the church.
Yes.
He'd run into people. You know, I'm sure he came into widows and go, oh, what happened to your husband? Well, you killed him, you know?
I've never thought of that.
I mean, everywhere he went in Israel, I mean, he was afraid. Putting everyone in prison or to death. So when he would talk about, I was a persecutor of the church, well, that would be a regret.
Yeah.
But he would always go to the gospel. He'd always go to Christ and say, yeah, but boy, thank God there's forgiveness, there's grace, there's mercy, and then you move forward. And I think people who just dwell on the regret is problematic.
Yeah.
Then you get into self-pity and woe is me. And but the regrets can really take us back, I think, for a recalibrate with the gospel, with Christ, to go, thank you. We did this, and my kids are doing this now because they're older. Is when they come into the parenting years themselves.
Yeah.
They, wow, my mom, dad, this is hard. Man, I gave you a hard time, didn't I? That's what we did. We said, man, how did my parents put up with me in those teen years? And we're seeing the same thing. So when they hit them, they realize they're not perfect either. Mm. And they begin to, I think they begin to mature. Once they start having children that start speaking up and want their own way. And
I mean, is there a difference, in your opinion, this would be for all of us, between a perfect parent and a blameless parent? You know, in some ways, it's tied into even that regret journey. In my own life, I have a huge regret with my youngest son was on staff with me at our church. And the way it sort of ended, it didn't end well for him.
Mm.
And my tension was, I was a staff member there and I'm founder of the church, but his dad. So in some meetings, when if it would have been any other staff member on my staff, I would have said, wait, you can't treat him that way.
Yeah.
What's going on here? But because it was my son and I didn't want to be accused of nepotism, there were moments where I just sat there quiet because I don't want them to think I'm defending my son. Now, if it had been Ryan or anybody, I would have been strong. Like, wait, this is out of bounds. But I just sat there.
Yeah.
And so later he's like, Dad, why didn't you defend me?
Yeah.
And he doesn't understand that tension.
Right.
I mean, he can say, well, I can, but still it was wrong. And so I still can lay in bed, even though he's forgiven, he was very gracious about
good.
It. It hurt, but he's gone through a journey. He's like, you know, I forgive you, but I know it hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's like, I was imperfect. Some ways I didn't think I was blameless, but I still can carry that. And I know parents carry those days or months or years where they thought I did the wrong thing. And now it's affected my son or daughter.
Yeah.
And they've walked away, and some of it's my fault.
Yeah.
You know, how do you speak to that, especially even as a counselor and a dad?
I think the Lord, even when he puts the kings together, you know, one king has a son. He's a godly king, has a son that's
Josiah.
Wicked.
Josiah.
Yeah, and then you have Manasseh.
Manasseh.
I mean, Hezekiah, righteous king, he has a son, Manasseh, and you go, what? And it was repeatedly.
Yeah.
This king, he's godly, he has a son, and it is to show parents influence their children, they don't determine them.
Mm.
And God will hold every child responsible for their own choices. And there's not going to be any perfect parent, but blameless doesn't mean you're perfect or sinless. It means you've dealt with your sin.
Mm.
So there's no handles, literally no handles to grab onto. So if your son, for example, said, Dad, you remember back? And you said, yeah, I do. But I asked you for forgiveness and you granted it. Mm. So now it's the son's responsibility, if he thinks of that, to deal biblically with it himself. Then when you think of it, you go, yeah, but I did ask for forgiveness. I would encourage others, don't do that. So it's a regret, but it doesn't have to hold you down. Mm. It probably is going to help you in ministry.
Right, right.
You know,
I was in a small group last week with a lot of different women, like 15 women. Some were moms and their daughters were in this group. Mm. And in the group was a good friend of mine. Her two daughters are in the group who are now women in their 30s with children. And the girls shared their testimony of how I started going to our church, the church that Dave and I started, and they heard the gospel and they gave their lives to Jesus. Wow. And the mom, she was so honest. It was so beautiful. Her girls had never even heard her say, and while they were seeking Jesus, I didn't even know who I was. I have such a broken past. I was out partying, but I saw my girls changing. And as a result, I wanted to be where they were. And so I became a greeter at the door of the church they were going to. Yeah. And then I happened to go into the service and I heard the gospel. Mm. And so here I am watching the girls hear their mom tell the story of her coming to know Jesus. And just the grace of the gospel, the grace of Jesus, of the mom feeling so much shame that here she is, so broken, so lost, trying to find her life through all different means. And yet, in spite of all of that, her girls find Jesus. Yeah. That is the grace of God, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That'd be my wife's story.
Really?
There was no believer in her family. And she went to a vacation Bible school at age 11. I mean, her parents were on the verge of a divorce, just conflict constantly, no gospel. So you heard the gospel and God saved her. And you go, what kind of parenting was that?
Right.
And then I look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, and it says, the Lord says, many children have I reared and they've all rebelled.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a comforting verse. Mm. You know, there's not going to be any perfect parent but God. Mm. So we're all going to fail one way or the other.
Well, tomorrow we want to get into some of the nitty gritty of your devotional and some of the topics. But how would you encourage parents as we end today?
You know, because of Christ, there's always help and hope. No matter what place you find yourself in, whether a child has just told you they're unsaved, or you found out something about them that there's no way they could be walking with Christ and be doing what they're doing. There's a whole hidden life, a double life. But some may be right in your face, yelling, screaming, vulgar things that you said, this is not how we raised them. There is always help and hope in Christ for whatever place you're in. And I may not even know all the answers yet of walking someone through their situation. But Christ is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And to me, that is finding peace, and that is, you know, keeping your hope. But it's going to have to be eyes all on Christ.
What I was thinking as I wrap this up, I was thinking a 30-day devotional is something a parent needs, because it's not once. It's not this month and then 3 months ago. It's daily. You lay in bed at night. Yeah. And so pretty interesting to be able to say, we're going to send you this book, Wayward Children by Stuart Scott, as you make a donation to Family Life today. Just make a donation to Family Life. Go to familylife.com. We will send you Wayward Children as you send a donation to us. Or you can call us 1-800-358-6329. That's 800-FSN-FAMILY. L is in life. And the word today, and we will send you Wayward Children as you bless us with a gift.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.